this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Monday to you. Well, I'm really glad you tuned in because I believe today's show is a divine appointment for you and for me. We have two very important hours ahead, actually. We're going to unpack what happens when godly people give in to temptation, when godly people do ungodly things. And you're going to want to hear the entire program. I promise it'll be powerful for you. Then, second hour, I'm joined by worship leader and musician Mark Allen, who will lead us in worship and prayer. Today, I want to talk to you about Beth Moore's book, When Godly People Do Ungodly Things, Arming Yourself in the Age of Seduction. And this probably sounds like a heavy topic. I wouldn't call it heavy. I would call it a deep topic, but a really powerful topic, and really learning how to stand in this age of seduction. And you know, that enemy prowls around like a roaring lion looking for who he will devour. And the worst thing we can have is a false sense of security. And another one of the worst things we can have is a preoccupation with the work of the enemy, because God has armed us for victory. He tells us to stand strong, to be courageous. And so we're just going to unpack a few characteristics of people who've been hit. We're not going to give names, but we're just giving scenarios out of Beth Moore's book, kind of almost characteristics of someone who is living a godly life and then out of nowhere was enticed into sin some way or another. There's these common denominators that Beth Moore has found among people that she's interviewed who really, like, didn't see it coming. And this book really serves as a cautionary advice for us to arm ourselves, to shore up the weak places, to not think that we can stand on our own strength. So the two questions I asked, question number one, how do you guard your heart and your life from the enemy's schemes? How do you shore up yourself? The second question is, when it comes to guarding your heart and life, do you care to share a lesson that you learned the hard way? And really want you to, if you've been somewhere and you feel like I tripped, I fell, and I don't want others to fall in the same way. You can be anonymous, but it would be a great gift to the rest of us. Or you can just kind of speak, you know, theoretically, but something maybe you learned that you want to share with us so that we can last long and we can finish strong. So here's the number again, 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. So here's a passage from 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 through 6. Listen to this. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Listen, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people turn away. Always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. You know, as the love of most grows cold, how do we continue to live in a manner that pleases God? How do we arm ourselves in this day of seduction? Well, one of the stories Beth shares in the book that just about knocked me over was she was writing about how her fence was starting to, the slats were falling off of the fence. And she said that the neighbors years ago had planted a row of trees, and the trees had grown up and the roots had weakened the fence. So one at a time, these slats started to fall off. And she was like, they were getting ready in their budget to spend thousands of dollars to put a new fence around the yard. She said, I don't know about you, but when I'm spending thousands of dollars, I want to eat it, wear it, drive it, but I do not want to put it around my yard. But there she is. She needs to do this this little thing with her fence. So she was kind of bumming and kind of lamenting about it, and her husband showed her this article of another person whose fence had the same problem. The trees that of the next yard over. The roots had grown up, weakened the fence, the slats started to fall off. Now the problem was her property, she raised these exotic miniature horses in her yard, but the yard next to her, they had exotic animals as well, like a wildlife reserve. And so the way that she figured out that her fence had gotten this weak spot in it was one day she was doing the dishes. She looks up out the window and a male lion is tearing her favorite little horse to pieces and killing it. And she said before she knew it, one day she didn't realize the fence was weak. The next day something dear to her was being shredded. And Beth writes, tragically, we often don't realize part of our fence is down until Satan, the roaring lion, is devouring something precious to us. Listen, right on our own property. Mind you, the devil has no right to be on our property, but all he needs for a written invitation is a weak spot in the fence. And then she further writes, listen, never assume that just because a smaller problem hasn't exploded into a bigger problem before, it's never going to. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to think. And so here's what I'm talking about. I want you to think about if there are places in your life that you've maybe let your guard down, and if the enemy can get you having a false sense of security, he will be thrilled because you won't fix those places in your fence. Maybe you've let your guard down with the kind of things you watch, the time you spend on the internet, the kind of books you read, the kind of time you spend with a coworker who's not your spouse. And maybe you've let your guard down and nothing's happened, so you think nothing's going to happen. And you've heard me tell this story before, but I shared this story in a letter that I recently wrote to a friend. And it was a pastor friend of mine. And I'll just read it to you. I've been wanting to send you a note since we had dinner recently, but I wasn't sure if I should. But God continually brings you to mind, so I decided to take the risk and jump. Though the Lord does keep bringing you to mind, I'm not saying for a moment that what I'm about to share with you is one of those thus saith the Lord messages. It's just something on my heart for you, and I pray for your grace as I try to share my thoughts. About 15 years ago or so, we were in our 30s, early 30s. Kevin and I were on overdrive doing all kinds of good things, ministry things. But we were driving hard, running parallel paths and wearing ourselves out. A very distinguished woman, whom I just was getting to know at the time, asked me out to lunch. We sat across the table from one another and we chatted. Then she leaned in, and what she said next about knocked me over. She proceeded to tell me that both she and her hubby were overachievers, and I knew that, they too had run an overdrive for far too long. But something happened that turned their lives upside down. Her husband messed up morally in a very public way and brought humiliation on the whole family, and it was so devastating it seemed to them like it came out of nowhere. They were trying to put the pieces back together when she asked me out to lunch. She said, Susie, I'm quite sure that neither Kev nor you have any thoughts or secret desires to step off of God's path for you, but I see the weariness in your eyes, and I know we have a fierce opponent as an enemy. He'll wait for just the right time, and he will trip you up. He'll trip up Kevin. He intends to take you out. God has put you on my heart time and time again, and I am telling you, warning you, please step back and get some rest, reset, and put a firmer boundary around your marriage, around your life, and around your time. I continue to tell my friend in this letter, that lunch date put a whole new fear of God in me. I believe she saved us from some kind of devastation, and I praise God for her courage. We were racing toward burnout at the time, and that was one of the many messages God used to put us right. We've never let up from certain marriage and time boundaries since that time. So here's what I want to say to you, friend of mine. You have God-given leadership abilities, but you're worn out, and you seem a little jaded by the ministry thing. I was there too, and you're physically tired. Your sweet wife, she's weary and she needs you. So here's my charge to you. Pull back and reignite your love affair and intimacy with Jesus and with your sweet wife and get back in shape physically. Make everything else get in line and take a number. I promise you that if you seek first his kingdom, guard first your marriage and your family, and take care of your physical health, you will last long. You will finish strong and God will establish you in his best purposes for you. A while back, I had a guest on the show who had a similar story as my friend, except she was the one who had the affair. Again, I'm not saying you're close to falling away in this way, but we all have ways we can fall and miss the mark. Anyway, this was a great show, and I mentioned during that show my lunch date with my friend. I think it would be great if you'd take a listen. God bless you, brother. I believe with all my heart that God wants to nourish, revive, and reset you in ways that feel wonderful to you, in ways that protect all that you love. Kev and I are seeing once very godly marriages dropping like flies all around us, and it's caused us to close the ranks on our own marriage even more and to be bolder when it comes to our friends. We're enjoying our marriage now more than we ever have, and we're stronger in ministry now more than we've ever been. I do believe it's because of those changes we made all those years ago. I do welcome your thoughts or any response you want to give me, and I do hope you know that I come to you in sisterly love. God bless you, bud. And I prayed, and I pushed send, and his response was so humble, so God-honoring, and I knew it would be because that's the kind of man he is. But I want to hear from you. What do you think about that? Because you know what? There are close calls happening all over the place. I know lots of people, high-profile ministry people, who had an emotional affair, and it was something where somebody intervened, made them mad even, and confronted something, but it put the fear of God, and it saved them from a worst devastation. God does not want us to fall headlong into sin, and he will put warning flares in our path. So when we come back, we're going to talk about ways we can shore up our lives. Such important conversation. Back in a moment. You're listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and we're digging into Beth Moore's great book, When Godly People Do Ungodly Things, Arming Yourself in the Age of Seduction. And by the way, I have 5 copies of this wonderful hardcover book to give away to the first 5 who get on the air today. So if you've got a cautionary story, if you want to just share wisdom that God has shown you how to shore up your life, we want to hear it, because this is a day where God is doing great, great things. The enemy is doing his thing as well. We've got to be wise to his schemes and keep our eyes on the Lord. So I want to hear from you. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We've got an anonymous caller from White Bear Lake. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Susie.
Hi, thank you so much for calling today.
Yes. I felt I was godly, but I was doing an ungodly thing. I just married for less than a year, went to a new church, and became very infatuated with the pastor. Hmm. Nothing ever happened except in my own mind and life. I found myself going to church every time I could, making excuses to go. It was just eating at my heart. I prayed about it. And I just heard the Holy Spirit say, tell your husband the truth.
Wow.
So I did. We prayed about it, and that was the end of it. It just took that out of my life. I could just stay at the church and not be embarrassed.
You know, you are so brave, and I love, see, you have a fear of God, so you listened to the Holy Spirit and you talked to your husband, which I would believe strongly that it disarmed some of the enemy's hold on you. But what happened to that sense of infatuation after you walked in the light with your husband? Did it just eventually wane, or did you continue to struggle with it?
It did immediately.
Wow.
Was the last time.
And the thing is, I'm sure the enemy tried to isolate you, but that is a common, common issue where women maybe have an infatuation with the pastor. And but God bless you for being a God-fearing woman and walking in the light. You are one of those victory stories, so thank you so much. And I even think your call today is going to serve as a precious cautionary tale to somebody else who's listening. And you get a copy of Beth's book, so thank you so much, friend.
Thank you.
I see those calls coming in. Love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. This is exactly the kind of call this precious woman who just called. That's what I'm looking for, is maybe you had a close call, or maybe you fell and God has forgiven you, but you want to be bold and brave and say, don't do what I did. And that really, to me, is allowing that place to bear fruit. And again, you can be anonymous if you want. Or maybe God's just giving you great wisdom on how you shore up your life, and we can learn from that. Love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. So Beth further writes in that fence story. She says, listen carefully. Never assume that just because a smaller problem hasn't exploded into a bigger problem before, that it's never going to. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to think. And we've got to give God access to our soul. We got to be willing. I love that she listened to the Holy Spirit, because God is for us and doesn't want us to fall. She did. Instead of saving face, she walked in the light. And that's where life happens. And you need to know, we sin out of our wounded places, but we also sin out of our ignorance. And so if we really don't understand that we have a very real opponent who wants us to fall, we will totally minimize it when he comes our way. How many women are sitting in church today with infatuations towards their pastors and doing nothing but waving it away like it's an irritating gnat while it's embedding into their soul? Treat it like this woman did. Treat it like something that's got to come out in the light so you can be free. 877-933-2484. David's calling from St. Paul. David, welcome to the show.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Tell me your story.
Well, this has to do with a friend of mine that I've known for about 20 years, and his marriage after 30 years blew up in his face. And over the years, he was damaged physically and emotionally, and he was getting ready to throw the towel in. And because of our relationship, he got in touch with me, and we've been meeting weekly. And I have been encouraging him not to throw the towel in, because God is still using him. And he's got a tremendous relationship with his sons, and he is working on his part of the bargain, and his wife is, she has got turned around a little bit, and she's working on her end, and I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I think he's come away
wow.
with not wanting to throw the towel in.
Well, thank the Lord, David, that you were there for him, and that is just another point to this, that it's so easy. There comes those turning points when someone does fall, where we step back and judge, or we draw near, we wash their feet, we serve. And David, you're going to get a copy of Beth's book, and there's a section, she almost has you read it out of order, depending on where you're at. So if someone reads it who's fallen, I think they read the last section first, because it just helps you be restored, and so that you can put a stop to the enemy's taunts and threats and lies. And if you're not someone who's fallen, but you don't want to fall, you read it in a different order. But David, you'll get a copy, and bless you for being there for your friend. See those fall calls coming in. I'm so glad to hear from you. 877-933-2484. Maybe you've got a cautionary tale to tell us about how maybe you learned the hard way, or a friend of yours learned the hard way. Don't share names, of course, or wisdom God has given you to how to shore up your life so that you are not led astray by the enemy's schemes. We've got Joan calling from Shoreview. Joan, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me on, Susie.
Mm-hmm.
I was divorced myself. I've been divorced a year, and God has put it on my heart to help other people to not be divorced, because it's a trick of the enemy. The enemy is slithering through our lives, and people just don't believe that he is real.
Mm.
And that's the biggest problem here. People don't believe that the enemy is real.
Mm.
I see godly marriages just falling apart.
It's, I do too.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah. See, I love that you're taking what the enemy meant for evil and you're turning it for good. That is so huge and so important. And
people will come to me, and often people will come to me because they know I'm divorced, and if something's going on in their marriage, and they think, oh, you know, she can probably help me get out. No way. I'm not helping you get out.
Mm.
You need to fight, and then you need to fight.
Mm.
And you need to put on the full armor of God, because the enemy has no place in your life.
Oh, wow. You go, girl. I really can't say that any stronger. Boy, God is using you. And that's one of the things I love about, he takes all things and he works them together. And he's going to use you to save so many marriages. And that's going to be the glory of God in heaven for you, is all these marriages that you actually saved. And boy, that's beautiful. Joan, thank you. And you get a copy of Beth's book. This is just powerful. I appreciate it so much. 877-933-2484. We've got Patty calling from McFarland, Wisconsin. Patty, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to share something that my husband and I learned. My husband's been a youth pastor for 25 years, and early on in our ministry, one of our friends who was also a youth pastor, a young boy in his youth group accused him of molesting him, and after everything was said and done, it ended up not being true.
Oh,
and so my husband and I learned early on from that to just put standards and guidelines up to protect ourselves. And so for 25 years, you know, our policy has been that I won't counsel a teenage boy and he won't counsel a teenage girl, just for our own protection. And that's ended up being really good.
That I so appreciate you sharing that. Here again, I hear oftentimes where you've got these young leaders that are 20-something riding in the car with a teenage girl youth person and going, what? And, you know, it's just not wisdom. And so you are speaking great, great wisdom, Patty. Thank you so, so much.
You're welcome.
God bless you. Get a book. We've got Catherine calling from Orange. Kathleen, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, Susie.
Hey, yes. And tell me where you're calling from.
In Orange, California.
California. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I just saw Orange, and I wasn't Orange County then, right? Now, share with us your story.
Well, I think today it's been pressing on my heart mostly, and God led me to listen to your program, and I'll call in, and I do want your book, and I hope I'm one of the first five, but just a series of poor choices, and not realizing the consequences are so heavy, and you, even as a godly person, you can still be steered the wrong direction. Mine was about 7 years ago, and married 23 years. And met someone else. And it just has spiraled into I'm a consequence of my sin. And if I could say anything, is that if anyone is feeling this, that it's their life, their godly life, is more of a burden than to walk into the sin.
Wow.
They don't realize the consequence will be much more heart-wrenching than it is to walk away for that, at that moment, to walk away, and they feel that like a breakaway is painful, but it will not last.
That is what you just said, Kathleen, is absolutely profound. I want to park there for just a moment. You're saying, well, sometimes it feels like that the call, the godly call, is a burden, but the consequence is far outweighs the cost of following Christ and saying no to our flesh. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's what I can say, that you can never go back once you make that decision, and that consequence will be very, very heavy if you are to live a godly life and you appreciate all the things that, and the blessings that God put in your life. But if you don't see it because you're caught up in this, you know, Satan's snare of what you might walk into, it's very, very hard to appreciate those blessings at the time. It's when it's gone, like, you know, it's your hand is open, it's fallen through the open fingers, all those beautiful blessings.
I now say,
God, how can you use me? How can you use me? Because you can't walk up to people in the middle of sin and say, walk away, because I didn't.
But you know what, Kathleen, as you're doing that today, your bravery to call, you're doing that today. Somebody's hearing you saying, I'm flirting around with something I shouldn't be, and now I'm hearing it in the voice of someone who walked down that path all the way. And do you battle the enemy's taunts? Is he relentless, and are you able to stand up against his lies, or how are you doing with that?
Absolutely. That's the thing, is that you now realize that your eyes are so acute to temptation and sin the moment it steps into your life, even a thought or a look or a friendship, you know, or a relationship, and, you know, money, everything becomes God's ways, his righteousness. You want to take that all on to protect yourself from any more damage that you've created in your life, because the consequence is so painful, or to others, that it's hurt.
I want to just say a quick prayer for you, Kathleen, before we go to break. Father, thank you for Kathleen. Thank you for her bravery. And I pray, well, you would take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it for good. Would you use her in ways that boggle her mind? Would you restore every year the enemy has taken from her? And I thank you that you forgive her, you cleanse her, and now you're going to establish her in great purposes. Thank you for this precious sister. In Jesus' name, bless you, Kathleen. This is Live the Promise, and we will be back in a moment.
Some things remain unchanged and undisturbed through the generations, like the mountains behind me, for instance. But the church is not one of them. We have entered a time on the kingdom calendar that we might characterize as the best of days and the worst of days so far. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, lay people wanting to know how to draw the sword of the Spirit, awesome days for the church, but is also a time of unparalleled assault. Many are falling to the seduction of the evil one in our day. Revelation 12:12 tells us he's furious because he knows his time is short. Many are being caught off guard. It is time for the church to be alert.
One life. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. If you just tuned in, boy, you want to hear the first half. We had a powerful conversation. You are my special guest today. Every once in a while we do this, we don't book a guest on purpose because we want to talk with you. We'll do something called book talk. And so I dug up this book. It's about 10 years old, but it's so powerful. It's titled When Godly People Do Ungodly Things, Arming Yourself in the Age of Seduction. It's a Beth Moore book. Reason I picked it up is because godly marriages are falling, dropping like flies around me. People are walking away from the faith and just deciding they don't believe anymore. But you know what? The Bible said that would happen. So if we want to last long and finish strong, we have to arm ourselves. We have to guard our hearts. This just doesn't happen accidentally. And it isn't enough to pray the prayer of salvation and hope it all works out. And so you've heard from some people, if you've been listening, you heard from some people who said, I didn't even see it coming and I fell into sin. And others who said, I had a temptation and I walked in the light and God saved me and protected me. The whole show today is about shoring yourself up, checking out those weaknesses and building them up, guarding your heart, so that you can last long and finish strong. How do you put boundaries around your life? I want to know. Maybe you've learned a lesson the hard way. Feel free to be anonymous as you share your story. But I'm telling you what, if you've got the courage to say, don't do what I did, you're going to be a great blessing to somebody else. And it allows your experience to bear fruit in the lives of others. And again, I want to honor your identity. If you want to be anonymous, that's totally fine. And we've given away all 5 books from Beth Moore, but everybody who gets on the air today will get a book off of our Faith Radio shelf. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Sonia's been waiting so patiently, calling from North Dakota. Sonia, welcome to the show.
Yes, hi. I was listening to that, what Beth Moore was just, that quote or what you had on, she was talking about how we need to be alert, and what I often see today is amongst women, you know, the desperate need that women need to feel loved and stuff. Oftentimes among our Christian lady friends, we see things going on in their lives, and we don't feel like we should approach them, and we know we should, or else we have things going on in our own lives, in our hearts. And if only we could go to a friend and expose those lies when the beginning starts, just by exposing them and speaking truth, you know, and having a girlfriend come in our life and pray with us and hold us accountable and ask us how it's going. I feel like today, I don't want to say just the church, but the whole body of the church, you know, it seems like when you're a member of a church, you should feel like you're really being accountable. And today, nobody really wants to really ask the tough questions.
So true, Sonia. And, you know, we're in a day where if ever there was a time we need to be able to ask the tough questions, it's today. It's right now. And so that needs to be the culture, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And I think in our own lives, a good way to start right away is every time is to run to God instantly and not hide all those things, because as Christians walking in the flesh, we are constantly combating, you know, desires and thoughts. And right now, a bunch of us ladies are doing the Book of James by Beth Moore. And, you know, it says in James, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really God's telling us there by bringing it forth, we can prevent a lot of that other stuff
true.
To happen.
So
you know,
true.
So we hide from all these things in our head when so often all of us are at times are struggling with different things, but deep things, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Sonia, that's a word from the Lord, and I can tell you're a woman of influence, so thank you so much. We'll make sure we get you a book of some kind, one that you'll like, and bless you. Boy, that's a great word for all of us. And I want to ask you, do you have accountability in your life? Are people allowed to speak into your life? And if they see excess and they speak of it, do you get mad? Do you get irritated? Do you justify? Or you have enough humble fear of God to say, I welcome what you have to say? And I'd love to hear from you, 877-933-2484. We've got Mel calling from Duluth. Welcome, Mel.
Hello, hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing very well.
So how do you shore up your life?
Well, the one thing that I was telling Grace was the fact that I was on Facebook. And for whatever reason, sometimes you feel like, and I'm married, and I'm in a very good marriage, but there's a temptation sometimes to start looking up those old boyfriends. Because maybe you just feel a little dissatisfied with your marriage at the moment. You remember how good things were with that other person. And I saw that as being a huge temptation, and I knew I had to get rid of Facebook. And it's not just Facebook, but it's other means, too. I mean, even picking up the phone call or writing a letter, I just have to put a boundary around my marriage to say that's not an appropriate thing for me to do.
Mal, that's excellent. And one of the gals on Facebook, when I posted the question, said, I don't watch movies or read books that make me feel dissatisfied with my husband. She said it's just a temptation. If he's better looking and if he seems more nurturing, those kind of stories create this discontentment, and it's not good for her, and it's not real life. And I think that's just wisdom.
Well, I hope so. I really do.
Hmm.
And I'm very grateful for God to open up my eyes to that, because at one time when I wasn't following God, I think I just would have gone with my emotions, which is another thing, too, I have to realize. At that moment, it's just an emotional thing. But that emotion is going to dissipate.
Mm-hmm.
And my marriage is something that has to be more than just emotional. It's you know, everything.
Yeah.
So.
And you're guarding something that's a treasure that doesn't always feel like a treasure, but, you know, in the kingdom realm, and when it's all said and done, you're going to see that you're putting bricks of gold around something that matters to you and matters to God. And just that one caller before the break, the heartbreak, you know, it's like, I went too far, and now it is too late. And so to see that even if it doesn't feel valuable, to treat it as it is valuable is such great wisdom. Mal, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great. 877-933-2484. Deanna's calling from Plymouth. Welcome, Deanna.
Hi, Susie.
Hey, how are you?
But what I wanted to share is I got married when I was probably about 35 years old and just longed for a husband. And not long after I got married, I would have dreams of other men at night, like faceless men. But that was a long time to be single. And what I felt God taught me was I would wake up in the morning, the first thing I would do was renounce the dream. I would renounce any tie that it put in my spirit, and I would ask God's blessing on my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And what has grown from that, too, is I've come to the point when there's temptation in my mind, and, you know, it can be with other men or whatever it is. When something keeps attacking my mind, I will not only pray against it, but if it keeps coming back, I will speak to the enemy and say, I am going to, every time you bring this to my mind, I'm going to pray for someone else. I'm going to pray for someone else's marriage. I'm going to pray for my neighbor. I'm going to pray for whoever it is. And I find that the temptation does not keep coming back because the enemy wants to taunt me. He doesn't want me to be incited to pray for others also. Mm.
Deanna, thank you for that. You know, A.W. Tozer has a book titled I Talk Back to the Enemy. People have different theology around that. I'm with you because I got pummeled so much in those early years, and I saw Luke 10:19 and says, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. You can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will injure you. When I read that, and Jesus was saying to me, I have given you authority, so take it. When I started to take it and say, enemy, you cannot talk to me this way. You can't put fear in my heart anymore. That's when I started to get victory. That's when peace came. And so, yeah, I agree with you on that one. Bless you for that. I think that's powerful. And we've got our shield and our sword for a reason, to block this stuff. And he's made us warriors, hasn't he?
Yep.
Mm, so good. And thank you for your prayers. I really appreciate that. So I'm going to have you listen to a clip. We had Casey Van Norman on for a while back, and she also tells the story of being a good Christian girl but being too busy and maybe letting her guard down.
We were in the mountains of Glorieta, New Mexico, and I went with complete wrong intentions. I went for a boy and mm-hmm. to impress a boy and to impress, you know, my parents and other Christians and keep up that charade that I'd been, you know, going through for the past couple of years. And God broke my heart. You know, his love is so pure and so untainted that he just cannot allow us to continue in sin. And on the last day of camp on top of that mountain, he broke my heart for the sin in my life. And at that time, I gave over those behaviors, those sinful behaviors that I had been addicted to, that I had been obsessed with in my life. I repented of those and turned away from those things and, you know, really came back into a very refreshing, you know, period with God, really beginning to come back to him and draw into him and lean into him in a new way, and going into college now and, you know, really beginning to pray for the man that God would bring me, and my future, and but here's the thing, and I want to be really clear about this, is I made a mistake. I had a really great moment with God, and in it, He was merciful and forgiving, and He did forgive me, and He did extend so much love to me in that moment and refreshed me. But the mistake I made was that I only gave to Him the symptoms of the infection. The infection that I had rooted deep within my heart was one of anger and bitterness and insecurity. And although I stopped the behaviors, and I even replaced some of those behaviors with godly behaviors, I did not surrender the actual place that those symptoms were coming from. And so I went through several years of good times and peaceful times, and it just blows me away to look back now in my 30s and see the absolute gifts that God gave me, even though He knew I would mess up again, and this time mess up big, as He blessed me with a man who had saved himself for marriage and was the man that I thought I would never get. I got him. And as He blessed me with two children, healthy and beautiful, those were giftings from God, even amidst the fact that He knew I would disobey and rebel from Him again in my future. And I did. Because again, I never gave Him that place, that deep, deep place of hurt. I just continued then to fill it with other things. And I got distracted with all the things of life that I missed this place. And it began to, you know, Satan, it's all he needs is just a little bit. And I gave him just a little bit. I was the girl that said, I would never do that. I was the girl that said, you know, I would never be that person. I would never cheat on my husband. And that's exactly what I did.
Mm-hmm.
Because the moment that we have just enough pride to say we would never do that is all Satan needs.
That's right.
And of course, I'm a Christian. I'm justifying everything. I'm calling it something else, not sin. It's an issue. It's, you know, it's hereditary. It's all these other things, but it's not sin. You know, and that's what Satan wants us to think. And he wants us to get just distracted enough that we stop believing God.
You know, 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, take heed if you think you stand, lest you fall. Now listen to the Message paraphrase of that very same verse. These are all warning marks, danger, in our history books, written down so that we don't repeat their mistakes. Our positions in the story are parallel. They at the beginning, we at the end, and we are just as capable of messing it up as they were. So don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. So forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God-confidence. And this is from 2 Peter 3, verses 17 and 18. I'm warning you ahead of time, dear friends. Be on guard so that you will not be carried away by the errors of this wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Rather, you must grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to Him, both now and forever. You know, if we end up standing, which we will, He'll guard what He's entrusted to us. All glory goes to Him. And so to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is to trust more in His enabling power than you do in yourself. That's what grace is. It's enabling power, saying, I can't, but you can. I'm confessing daily my dependence on you. To grow in the knowledge of God, Scripture says knowing the Holy One results in understanding. To know this love is to be filled to the fullness. It's this constant, relentless pursuit of Him, knowing He constantly and relentlessly pursues us. Hope you can stay tuned. More great conversation up ahead. Welcome back to Live the Promise, talking today about Beth Moore's excellent book, When Godly People Do Ungodly Things. We're going to wrap up today by covering 16 claims of those who've been seduced. So the first one was they're caught off guard by a sudden onslaught of temptation or attack. It was like they did not know where it came from. But you know what? The point being, if there's low places in your wall, that's where the enemy's going to get in. And so today is the day to shore up your weaknesses, to say, Lord, expose any false security in my life. God, convict me of places that I've just let the wall down where the enemy could get in. And so, because they were hit out of nowhere. And the second is a season of overwhelming temptation and seduction, often followed huge spiritual markers with God. So those who endured, who did what one of the callers did, where she went to her husband and walked in the light, these people that Beth interviewed came into a whole new place of expanded territory, of great blessing and relationship or ministry or whatever it is God had for them. But those who fell missed it and realized that God just ahead had a blessing. But so often before you take new land, you're tested. Not that God tests you, but that enemy. He sees the Calvary Mountain on the hill getting ready to come on your behalf, and he throws in an attack. And so often, if you're in a place of testing and refinement and temptation, you know, put on the whole armor of God so that you'll be found standing. Three, everyone described a mental bombardment where they were just onslaughted by seductive thoughts, temptations, insecurities, discontentment, whatever it is. And again, that's where you have it in you, with the Spirit of God in you, to win the battle of the mind. Number four, many of those caught in relational seductions testified that Satan got them to them through somebody close by. That's really important to know, just to be paying attention to your personal boundaries with your coworkers, with your neighbors, with your friends. Five, many testified to early warning signals where the flare was going up in the air and they didn't want to do it. They want to listen. Casey was saying on that clip, I just justified it. Runs in the family or, you know, ministry, whatever. Six, many described their sudden behavioral pattern as totally uncharacteristic. Like, I've never acted like that in my life. And really looking back, going, I don't know what got into me. Seven, virtually all of them describe feelings and practices of isolation. And the enemy, you know, he loves isolation. He wants to isolate you, make you feel like you're alone, make you feel like nobody else relates to you, and you just get deeper and deeper into the sin. Eight, without exception, deception and some level of secrecy are involved, where you're deceiving yourself, maybe deceiving others. Number nine, described an overwhelming feeling of being powerless over the situation. And what Beth writes here is, believers are only powerless in their own strength. God has promised to provide a way of escape for every temptation. The power of seduction is indescribable, however, not inescapable, not even totally irresistible, but it is indescribable. So if you're walking through a time like that, talk to other people, as some of our callers have wisely said. Walk in the light. Care more about your oneness with God and the call of God in your life than you do about saving face, because we all get hit in different ways. We're all tempted in different ways. So walk in the light. Number 10, many describe something we'll call an addictive nature to the seductiveness of sin. And so just feeling addicted and even drugged by it almost. And they can't even explain it, but they're just kind of captured by it. Again, the Spirit of God can deliver us. Walk in the light. 11, most utterly hated what they were doing. And she says here, part of Satan's ploy is to make his victims feel addicted and powerless. And 12, the seduction lasted for only a season. And she says, people with a genuine heart for God cannot remain in the practice of sin, as Scripture says. So it lasts for a season. You will see the goodness of the Lord. You will press on, and the season will change. 13, many described a period of spiritual numbness of sorts, where it just didn't feel, they didn't feel themselves. It didn't feel real for some reason. And as one of the callers, we had such wise callers, such wise insight, but one of the callers said, you know, you can't just do things based on your emotions, because you're not going to feel like obeying. You know, the enticement of sin is going to feel so much better than the quote-unquote burden of obedience to God. And so you're not going to, you might be numb to your conviction, but you still have the truth of God's word. 14, many used the same peculiar word to describe what they had experienced, and this word was web. They were caught in a web. 15, many describe the aftermath as a time of slowly increasing awareness rather than an instant wake-up, almost coming out of a drug-induced coma, like slowly coming alive, slowly coming awake, going, what in the world just happened to me? And the more they woke up, the madder and the sadder they became. And finally, I'm going to take Shanae here, just one second here. Number 16 is this. The feelings of devastation and indescribable sorrow finally came, ushering in deep repentance. Those were who, Beth says, who were wholeheartedly and sincerely devoted to Christ finally experience a devastation in such a way when they finally wake up, they feel like they can't go on. And that's what's so devastating. That enemy baits you into sin, and then he just completely pummels you for being such a dope, for falling into his trap. He's evil. He's wicked. He has methods. He has schemes. But thanks be to God, our victory is in Christ Jesus. We just have just a minute, Shanae. I'm so sorry to keep you waiting, but I want to hear what you have to say. Welcome to the show.
Hey there.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I love your show. It's really, really good. I had remarried after 17 years, and I didn't realize it. We didn't have sex whenever we got married, and I didn't know it, but I was married to a sex addict. I found out after our honeymoon, on our honeymoon, and wondered what was going on, and I went through a lot with that for an entire year, trying to sort out what kind of person was I married to, and just go through a lot of prayers and a lot of walk, and I finally fasted and cried a lot and finally figured out what I was going to do, and the Lord led me to call to get certain people to help, which there aren't very many in our area that would help with that. And now I can say a couple years later, I've been on this journey of healing for myself, stopping, not looking at my husband to heal, looking at me to heal, and in turn he's healed as well. We're both Christians, and now we're teaching other people about this.
Wow!
And so it's been just powerful because I grew up with an addict. My dad was a gambler, and then of course there's other members in your family that have addictions, and you never know what to do with that. And so, and really nobody ever gives you an outline for it either. This is what you do, this is how you handle this, whatever. Instead, everybody kind of wants to brush it under the rug, especially if you're a Christian. And so I said, Lord, help me look at me in this. Help me look at me and figure out what I'm supposed to do with me and how I'm supposed to heal through this. And so he taught me about boundaries and with myself, and he taught me about being an enabler, and he taught me about all kinds of things that have just been wonderful. And so now I've been able to teach other people about that. And so actually what I thought was just a horrible thing that had happened to me has turned out to be a blessing for both of us. And
I
pray that it, go ahead.
I just honor you because you could become bitter, cynical, hateful, and your crime of a cold heart could be as bad as his addiction to pornography or whatever. But you said, what in me, Lord? And you became a conduit to his healing, even to God's healing, even to your husband. And now look, whenever that happens, I think when we respond that way, now God's entrusted a whole ministry sphere to you. I think that's just so powerful. Thank you for the way you've stewarded your heartbreak.
No, thank you for hearing me and for other people to hear me because, this, don't give up, just don't give up. The Lord will come through. But ask him to look at you and to show you, where you need your healing. Mm. And whenever you heal, he will heal because the Lord says we are to respect and honor our husbands and then he will love you in return.
Wow. Shanae, that's a powerful testimony to end on today. Thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord and to your husband, and now to the people he's given you to serve. Thank you so much. Bless you. I'm going to close in prayer. As I said, I have so much more I want to chat with you about, but we'll pick this up another day. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our precious listeners. Thank you, God, that you really intend on our success, that you want us to cross the finish line, lasting long, finishing strong, being faithful, walking purely and blamelessly before you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, you empower us to do that. You give us wisdom. Your precious spirit brings conviction when we are walking on a path that we shouldn't. God, I thank you for all of it. And I pray for that friend today who's flirting with disaster, who's flirting with sin and destruction. And it seems more delightful than the burden of obedience, like our one caller said. I pray, open their eyes in Jesus' name. Stir in their hearts of faith. Give them eyes to see. Give them somebody to head them off in the path so that they can make a U-turn and walk in your best path for you. Thank you, God, that you are faithful. I pray you'd take this show and you'd send it far and wide and minister warning and caution to those listening who need it today. We love you. I thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. That was Hour 1 of Live the Promise. Coming up next for Hour 2, Mark Allen will be in studio for another Artist Corner. Hour 2, coming up next.